Transitions ruin a funeral service. I hadn't planned on doing this, but I want to take a picture of love. And you too. And it only took the picture when I was turning. So we'll come back this way. I can do whatever I want to. I want to start by thanking a lot of people, especially the ones I don't name, because I'll forget some. But I want to thank, obviously, my family and my friends. You have meant so much to us. I want to thank all the people at Children's Hospital who loved us so much. I want to thank, certainly, all the administrators from Penn Hills High School. I want to thank the countless teachers from the school who have come and loved our children and certainly loved Trey. I want to thank Heather Houlihan, who's a school board member and took the time to be here. I want to thank all of you for being here. And I want to thank the people of Hebron. You guys have been unbelievable. For you to have loved and served us these last couple days, it's very humbling. And for all of you, or those of you who do not have a church home, I encourage you very much to check out Hebron and what they have to offer you. I do also know of another local church that has an amazing preacher. It's over on Jefferson Road, where we have flat parking and a guaranteed parking space if you become a regular attender in the next month. So Trey, I have two favorite memories of my son. The first one is a day at Idlewild. It's funny, we talk about Disney, Busch Gardens, Water Country, Great Wolf Lodge, Kennywood, and what do I pick? Idlewild. He liked there too. He liked it. We were on the Ferris wheel, and we were at the very top. And this actually happened twice, but it was the first time. And, you know, they have to let people on, let people off. And we were at the very top, and it was Trey and it was me. And for one moment in this journey, it was a man and his boy. It wasn't Trey. It wasn't Jay. It wasn't cancer. We were normal. For a brief swinging moment, I just sat there, a man and his son. And the other would have to be Tuesday night, the last significant conversation I had with my son. I was giving him a bath, or letting him take a bath. His breathing was labored. I didn't know what was coming, but I knew he wasn't right. And so I helped him into the bath. He said to me, "Daddy, talk to me about Kennywood." I said, "You want to talk about the rides?" He said, "Yeah." And I listed every ride at Kennywood. And that was our last conversation. Doug touched on it a little bit, but the number one question that has either been asked of me or certainly asked of yourselves is, why did this happen? Why did this happen? I'm going to let you in on a secret. I know the answer. And I've known it for a very long time. It happened for you. That's why it happened. It happened for you. And we'll get to that some more. But maybe you're sitting there right now and you're saying, Jay, I appreciate what Doug said. And I sort of hear what you're saying. But I just can't get on board. Why would a loving God let that happen to this little boy? I can't get on board with that. Well, I have a little secret for you. Another one. You're not God. Yeah. For some of you, big bulletin right there. And you know what? For all of us, it better be a healthy reminder. Because you know what? We live our life as if we are. And I ask you, what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and say, I don't want any piece of a God that would let that happen. Good luck. You're going to fight. You can take your ball and go home. Have fun with it. Sorry, that's a little bit aggressive. I'm allowed to be this morning. You're not God. And we live our lives as if we are. Do you know where I mourn today almost as much as the passing of my son? Is seeing people hold on to life so tightly because they're afraid of what's going to happen. Let me tell you, from somebody standing in the furnace, it's okay. And you can't control your life. You can't control your kids. You can't control your job. You can't control the economy. You're not God. Let it go. It's okay here in the furnace. You're deathly afraid to be me today. Some of you will be. It'll look differently. Some of you already have been. It's okay. But I said it's for you. You know, John 3:16 is so many people's favorite scripture verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can I change that for one? Doug, do I have your permission? Okay, the Bible doesn't, you're not supposed to change scripture. For God so loved the world that he let his only begotten son die. Well, certainly he can let mine get cancer. He did it for you. Why? So that you can see how great and awesome and mighty he is. Okay, I've heard it 1,200 times in the last 2 days. How great and awesome and mighty I am. Those of you who really know me, and you know Rachel. Sorry, dear. Know how flawed we are. And you say, you guys have such great faith. We didn't go to the faith store and buy it. We didn't do the appropriate things that God said. You are worthy of this much faith. No. God filled us with this faith. He just gave it to us. Why? For you to see these last 4 years. We are normal, decrepit, less so, human beings. there is nothing special about me. Please stop saying that. There isn't. And now I'm going to make you real mad. There wasn't anything real special about this boy till he got cancer. For those of you who knew him, think backwards. At the age of 2, he was a typical, petulant 2-year-old who would throw himself on the ground. How many of you just said, sounds like my 2-year-old? But God had a plan. And the minute he was diagnosed, he changed. Something was different about this boy. Something was tremendously different. And if you don't believe me, you see, there were tons of pictures here the other night, the last 2 days. There weren't any pictures. You see, he wasn't always the young warrior these past 4 years. He wasn't always the angel that everybody loved. There were great pictures of him having great times, doing great things, being silly, sprinkles on his face. There were no pictures of him tormenting his sister. There were no pictures of him trying to wake up Joe. There were no pictures of him being a defiant stinker to his mother and father. But also inside that petulant child was the light of Jesus Christ. And if you think I'm just saying that as a proud father, I ask you right now, look in his eyes. When you see those videos, look into his eyes if you dare. You're looking into eternity. You're looking at the light of Jesus Christ. I want to read for you a private message I received. Not very private at this point in time. And I don't know if he's here today, but he's a buddy of mine. His name's Big Bill. None of you would say Big Bill's a prophet. Many of you would say, Big Bill's a Christian? Really? He knows the Lord? Here's what he wrote to me just the other night. He said, I just spent the last hour from 1:20 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. looking at pics and videos of Trey. I was reminded of something I thought even before he got sick. Thanks, Bill, you kind of ruined my talk. He always had this look in his eyes. Even when being silly, that told me he knew a secret. Nobody else did. Like he was wise beyond his years. And I don't know why, but I think his eyes also said that he knew the Lord more than some adults ever will. Just wanted to get that off my chest. Picture after picture, his eyes tell a great story. When you looked at them, you saw the light of Jesus Christ. And that is where I will move, continue, and conclude our talk this morning. And that's in John 16, 33. You don't have to open it up, I'll read it for you. It says, this is Jesus speaking. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Now, is that a bulletin for you? Anyone here?
Have you avoided trouble your whole life?
Or do you sit here today reminded of some of your own mourning, your own tragedies, your own troubles? Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus overcame sin. He overcame death so that you could be with God again. And if you leave here today and you don't examine that, Doug said, if you're not a Christian, live it up. I say, if you're not a Christian, have a very hard conversation with yourself. Jesus overcame this world, sin, death, so that you could be with God the Father for eternity. I will tell you this. Trey overcame cancer so you could see Jesus. And what are you supposed to do with that? You have a couple choices and I'm done. You can take an honest, good look at that and ask those questions. You can just ignore it and say, boy, I can't believe Jay had the guts to preach. You can have the world's greatest buffet in front of you and go, smells nice. And not take a bite. Or you can release control of your life. Realize that you're not God. You can't be, you won't be, you never will be. But because Trey showed you Jesus, and Jesus died for your sins, you can be with God for eternity. And that eternity starts now. Why did this happen? For you to see Jesus. I appreciate what my son did. I love you. I thank you. Let us pray. God, I could not be more grateful as I stand here today. If but for 1 minute, would you give everyone here the clarity and the courage to have an honest conversation with who you are and how they relate to you? God, I thank you for my wife, my son, my daughter, and my son. What a gift you have given me. But I thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen.